Advisory Board meeting. Today is May 12, 2026. Can I get everybody to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Items on the agenda may be taken in order. The board may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The board council may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating any item. No actions may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard on this meeting are forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners, Zoning Commissioner, BCC, or the Coyote County Planning Commissioners for final action. Please turn off all phones or mute them or any other electrical devices. If you have any conversations, I know we have a lot of people here, but we want everybody to be heard. You can take your conversations out here. You can go in the back office and you can come back in any time. We have all board members present, but we do want to welcome Bill Kephart to the board. He is new tonight, so be easy on him. He's gonna we have staff introductions.
Yes, Blanca Vasquez, Park County, and Commissioner
Jim Hughes'
office.
And Michael
Fueling
from Comprehensive
Planning. And how will those on?
Public comment. This is a period devoted to the comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, actions, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded an opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within the jurisdiction but not appearing on the agenda, you must wait until the comments section at the end of the meeting. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the podium, and we have a mic right here. Speak your name, spell it for the record, and your address. If any member of the board council wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chairperson, board, or council by majority vote. Can I get approval for the minutes for April 28th, 2026?
I move to approve the minutes from the April 28th, 2026 meeting.
There's a motion on the floor to approve the minutes for April 28, 2026. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Can I get approval for the agenda for May 12, 2026 with any holds, combinations, or any deleted items?
Madam Chair, I make a motion to approve the agenda for tonight, May 12, 2026, with one change. That will be item number 7, UC 2602, Bone Severin, Cameron, Laura, and James, to be moved to item 1, the first item.
Can I get a motion to approve the minute or the agenda with the changes that were spoken? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? And what we just did is most of you, can I get a handful of who's here for the waiver for Carmen and Laura and James for development standards? I just want to show our hands who's going to be here to speak or hear the IRP. So what we're going to do is what we did is we moved it to the beginning of the meeting. So we're going to do you guys first. So we're going to hear from the presenter, and then we'll hear from the public, and then we'll hear from the board. Okay? Are we good with that? Okay. So who's are you presenting? Okay. So who is presenting for this agenda item? Come on up. So we're going to hear from you first, and then we'll open it to the public after you speak. Oh, I got to read it. Oh, we got confused. Let me read it in the record really quick. I'm sorry. UC 260217, Cameron, Laura, and James. Use permit the following, allowing additional household pets, dogs, and allow a home occupation. Waiver development standards for alternate driveway geometrics in conjunction with an existing single-family residence on a 0.56 acre in a RS20 residential single-family 20 zone, generally located west of Redcliffe Street and south of Robindale Road within Paris. Now you can speak. Make sure you let us know who you are. And speak.
Okay, do we do it here? Or?
If you have something, take the mic.
Okay.
And then you can go over there and you can put whatever your presentation underneath the overhead right there. There you go. And then you can present from there. But make sure you both, if you're both going to speak, I need both your name on record and your address.
I'll be speaking.
Okay.
You need to push that button up.
My name is James Cameron.
It's not, is it on?
It's not on.
It's not on yet. Push the button up.
Yeah, see that. And we ask that everybody just kind of keep the conversations, and like I said, take it outside, because we all want to hear everybody when we speak.
Hi, my name is James Cameron, one of the owners of Parks Vegas. CEO Laura Cameron's with me. We're both service disabled veterans. Laura currently works in the medical field. Myself, I own a security company called Security Concept Group, and I'm also a chairman of a nonprofit that is writing ANSI standards for executive protection. As far as our business overview, our business model is in home occupation. Daily capacity is 12 dogs that we're asking for. Noise control, we have managed group rotations for outdoor activities. Dogs are never left unattended. Outdoor playtime would be limited to 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Traffic management, all time drop-off and pickups are pre-scheduled through a phone app and online. Neighborhood acoustics, no outdoor, we've got aesthetics, we're not asking for any signage, no change to the facility, the home it is, as it is. Nothing that can be seen from the public. Visits, no walk-ups are allowed. Parks Vegas is a boutique dog care provider that delivers a premium, low-impact dog care that prioritizes quality over care, prioritizes quality of care over volume of customers. Parks Vegas offers a serene, secure, professional home away from home that reflects the Cameron's commitment to excellence and community responsibility. And to be clear, we're not a commercial. We're not planning to be a commercial kennel. So to address some of the community concerns that we understand that there is, first we'll start with noise management, and we'll also address the planning analysis. So for noise management, we do have multiple anti-barking devices that we have purchased. We also use pheromones, which have been shown to reduce stress and anxiety of animals and dogs, lowering the possibility of them vocalizing. We've put up over 216 square feet of acoustic paneling, not foam, but actual acoustic paneling that reduces the transmission of sound waves. We will be playing ambient music inside. This also helps calm animals, research study shows. And we've also done sound testing based on where in the home we would be holding the dogs versus the nearest property lines. And it's important to know that the size of the lot and the substantial setback distances range from 149 feet to 740 feet, combined with multiple layers of passive attenuation, including masonry perimeter walls, dense landscaping, and intervening structures. Any translucent noise from vocal dogs is effectively neutralized before reaching the community. And this addresses the planning analysis of point one, subject property will not be affected substantially in an adverse manner. Second one would be community concerns of odor control and sanitation. We actually will be deploying pet genies, which are very similar to the diaper genies that they sell, where they have a charcoal filter at the top. The bags actually self-seal as well, so that way everything is stored. We utilize OxyCab cleaning solution, which is a hospital-grade cleaning solution. And we have scheduled turf maintenance. These are actual professionals that come out and manage the turf, the backyard turf, by sweeping and sanitizing the backyard surfaces. We also have, about 15 different policies and procedures to address how all this is to be run and managed. Waste management, sanitation, and safety is a top priority in reducing any health and safety risks. This addresses the planning analysis point two, will not materially affect health and safety of persons residing in, working in, or visiting the immediate vicinity, not being detrimental to public welfare. Next is the community concern of parking and traffic management. As previously stated, there would be scheduled pickup and drop-offs, so there wouldn't be multiple clients coming and going at the same time. The subject property has a straight in and out access with less than 500 feet from the main road. It's a direct line in, turnaround, and direct line out. We have 9 on-property parking spaces. That's not on the street, that's actually on property. And we did do a traffic study, and the estimated increase is 2.5 cars per hour with the estimated of 12 dogs per day. The current frequency of cars per hour is 1 car every 13.6 minutes. Our proposed frequency would be 1 car every 8 minutes, 9 minutes, around that. This addresses the public works. We're not asking for a parking lot. One shouldn't be requested, nor should be required due to limit client base. Scheduled pickups and drop-offs and 9 property parking spaces helps with that. Site suitability and community benefit. As I mentioned, strategic spatial buffering, the property size, the land size, along with other property sizes, provides that spatial buffering. It's fulfilling a local service gap, making unlicensed, unregulated service providers. Whether the board knows it or not, there's a lot of, we counted over 250 businesses in the valley that are operating outside of any licensing or regulation. You can go to rover.com, there's places that have backyard Airbnb type style where you can rent the space. This business is going on out there. We're asking to do it properly and asking to do it with oversight. Compatible with the animal-centric heritage of the RN zone. Now we understand that the house itself is zoned as residential, but the lot sizes in that neighborhood are much larger and fall under the RN zone. There's zero infrastructure burden. We don't need, we're on septic, so there's no public waste or sewage. We're not putting up any signage. We're not asking for stop signs, new roads. Everything is as is. And this addresses planning analysis point 3, not create an undue burden on any public improvements, facilities, or services. And an important note, no mention of the comprehensive planning assumed what those burdens would pose. So that was one note. I'd like to also draw your attention to a comparison to in-home child care versus residential dog care. It's the exact same footprint. Same concerns, noise, sanitation, safety, and traffic. And according to the Nevada Division of Social Services, Nevada Child Care License produced a report, Licensed Child Care Facility Capacity Report, dated December 2025. There are currently over 100 family and group child care homes operating in Clark County. We're asking for the same thing that they are being provided, and they're doing it in much smaller property size, and it's the same exact footprint. Would like to make one comment about an incorrect statement in the public works review. They state the residents has been operating a commercial business. Due to the nature of the business, customers visiting the site contribute to an increase of traffic through the neighborhood. No business has been conducted. We spoke to zoning. We understand that a complaint was filed by some members of the neighborhood. No business has been conducted. We haven't had any clients, no visits, nothing like that. So they made an assumption under the public works review, which is incorrect. And prior to this meeting, I think it's also important to note, we created a dedicated webpage that had a great length of detail of how we were going to mitigate any concerns. On March 9th, we sent an email out to local community members, many I'm sure that are sitting in this room today. We sent an email out to them, and we have a report of how many were opened, how many clicked on links. And then on March 19th, we sent out our own postcard through a mailing service, which we have record of, to the entire community, informing them that April 7, 2026, we would conduct our own community meeting that would afford them an opportunity to discuss with us their concerns. Prior to this meeting, we understand that they may only have 3 minutes, but we wanted to have that dialogue. And we did do that on April 7, 2026. We held it at 7 p.m., and one person showed up, and was somebody from the commissioner's office. So with that said, that's our business proposal, and that's what we're asking for. Those are the things that we've taken, or steps that we've taken. I do have our application package in case you want to go through any of the detail.
Do you have a picture of the resident?
Hold on just for a second. I'll let you go first, okay. Are you done presenting right now? Just okay. So what I'm going to do is I have to open it up to the public, and what I'm going to ask is if you're going to speak, try, if you hear your neighbors or someone that's involved in wanting their opinion, can we not repeat it? Because we are listening. We listen to all of you. If you all want to speak, that's fine. You want to come up here, and you get the mic, you say your name, your address, and if we could line up so we're not waiting for everybody to get up just to start speaking, so whoever wants to start, if you want to speak on this agenda item, the public is now's the time to do it. And then whoever wants to speak after him, when he's finished, then you can line up and come up. And we are going to limit it to 3 minutes, so we're going to kind of be sticklers tonight about that. What you want.
My name is John Mowbray. I've been practicing law here for over 50 years. I came to Clark County, Henderson, Nevada, specifically 5 miles from here, 75 years ago this Saturday. So I've known the community for a while. What I would first like to do, and by the way, my last name is spelled for the record, Mowbray, M as in Mary, W-B-R-A-Y, and I'm here representing several neighborhood owners in opposition to this item. What I'd like to do is start off with an overview of the neighborhood, which has been around for over 4 decades, and it was designed as a ranch-style estate. These are half-acre lots. There are multi-million dollar properties there. Up until this moment, there's been no use permit, no commercial application, or anything else. Furthermore, we believe that this whole application process is cattywampus. And I mean by that, what diligence would have done is the applicant, before they acquired their property in November of 2025, and as they posted their website about this business operation, should have come before this board at that time and sought approval to run a kennel in a prohibited RS20 zone. By statute and code, kennels, defined as 12 or more dogs, are prohibited. And the characterization of the application that this got more from a residence to a commercial ancillary uses, you look at, get deep into the application is nonsense. You had a nice four-bedroom home, which has now been reduced to one bedroom. And the whole area, the percentage is for personal use versus residential use, is, again, cattywampus. Now, I'm going to present the overview of the neighborhood. Before I go any further, I would like to poll here in this room with everyone who's in opposition to item number 7 tonight. Raise your hands.
Okay, hold them up because we have to get a count. Hold on. Okay, now we're getting more. I got 27. I got 27. Okay. Okay, so we're good. Okay, go ahead. Thank you, guys. Okay, so we're going to start your, we paused your minutes, but you're running on like about.
I know. I'm
so, okay, go ahead.
All right, let me show you the neighborhood. So you have one street that comes in that's quasi-maintained by the county, but it has no streets, curbs, gutters, or street lights. You have all these private roads that go around. This is about 650 feet. All these private roads encompass over 2,000 linear feet. They have to be surveyed. The property owners have to chip in and do this. This development will cause a significant increase if you take at word what's in the application. 30 vehicles a day. Now, for I'm going to cede my time. I've got some.
I asked him to give it a slight tap
okay,
for me.
I'll just wrap it up.
So yeah, wrap it.
Bottom line is, I presented to the board my summaries of the homeowners and their objections are well taken, and I'll pass the mic now to go down the line here. So I've run out of my 3 minutes.
Yes, you have.
So
if you guys wanted to sit, you guys can sit. Are you sure? You okay? Okay. Well, I didn't want to think you had to stand, so.
No.
Okay. And if we could do it as quickly as possible, because I know I want to give everybody an opportunity and get everybody home. We got you guys first so we could get you out the door so we could get everybody home early. So if you could do it as quick as possible, but I want to hear you.
Hi, my name is Frank Madera. That's M-A-D-D-D-R-A. I've resided in that community now for 28, going on 29 years. Been a Clark County resident for almost 40 years. We strongly oppose this. This is not a commercial area. This is private homes that people could live in, work their whole life to move into a development such as this. This is not to be disturbed by dock kennels or commercial property. This is a residential neighborhood, not a commercial area. Families here for peace, quiet, safety, privacy, and rural country atmosphere. The neighborhood has been provided for many decades. People invested their life savings, their homes, in their homes, because they wanted a peaceful place to live and raise their families, not live next door to a commercial business. If someone wants to operate a commercial dog kennel, then it belongs in a property of some commercial, not an industrial or an industrial area, not frankly in the middle of our homes in our backyard. What makes this situation even more concerning is my entire property line that borders and frontage canal. If you see right here, my house is right to the right of it. My backyard and my back window, my bedroom window, is less than 6 feet away. And you can see, just from people washing the cars, the runoff, it puddles. So when you have a daycare, doggy kennel in there, and they rinse and wash, it's not going into the city sewer. It's going down the gutter next to my house. Okay? What makes this situation even more concerning is my entire property line borders with the Grange Canal that services the neighborhood, ultimately flows into Lake Mead, which is Southern Nevada's primary drinking water. In our neighborhood, there is only one way for the water to drink. When people wash the cars, when sprinkler systems overflow, or rainwater runs off, all the water flows downhill into the canal that faces my property. There is no underground drainage in the private development of this canal. I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but everything comes down to one canal on the side of my home. So I'm the caretaker of this. I'll get into it more. I personally maintain the canal. The county does not maintain
it. You have to wrap it up here if we can.
Yep, about done. As I am responsible for keeping it clear of debris, blockage, and contamination where I can be fined, which I've already encountered code enforcement over this. The canal already has areas where the standing water is a puddle. I'll imagine adding runoff associated with the commercial dog kennel operations. Dog feces, urine, odor, bacteria, flies, mosquito, and other sanitation concerns directly alongside your residential home. You are not even legally allowed to drain a swimming pool in certain areas without proper drainage requirements. Yet we are being asked to accept the possibility of continuous animal waste and runoff next to our homes near a drainage channel connected to the watershed leading into Lake Mead.
Okay.
This canal runs more than 100 feet along my property. and it's only 6 feet from my bedroom window. My wife and I should not have to live with the constant parking, odor, insect, sanitation concerns, and disruptions that come with commercial kennel business operating next door. This is about much more than parking dogs. It's about protecting our health, our property, our value, our peace and quiet, and the quality of life we have enjoyed peacefully in this country neighborhood. It's difficult for many of us to understand how somebody can just recently move in and establish a business in our neighborhood and attempt to introduce commercial operations, permanently disrupting a peaceful character of our community surrounding. Once expectations like this are approved, neighborhoods slowly lose the variety of character and made people want to live there in the first place. Residential neighborhoods become commercialized once exceptions are made.
I'm going to ask you, I'm going to have
I'm
to,
done.
I, okay,
so,
I appreciate, I'm just going to let you guys know, we want everybody to speak, so we have to take the 3 minutes seriously, or we, you guys, I get it, you want to say a lot, and we appreciate it. So I don't want to be mean, so don't make me
no
be mean.
No problem at all.
She can do it.
Okay, you're up, 3 minutes.
Yep, my name is Tom Hurst. H-U-R-S-T, I live at 910 Ambrose. I've lived in that neighborhood for 34 years and in Las Vegas for 60 years. I'm here to speak in opposition of this, of course. Let's look up the word kennel in the Title 30 Uniform Development Code. Quote, a building, structure, or premises on which household pets are kept, typically for compensation. That's exactly what the cameras
please
want.
Please direct it to the board, not the applicant. Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
In fact, that's prohibited use on an RS-20 property. No provision for waivers, no provision for conditions, prohibited use flat out. There are only four criteria for home occupation, which is how they're trying to skirt the law now. Listen, this is no on-site clients, customers, or employees. They want that. No deliveries. They want that. No use of the outside yard. They want to do that. Finally, it must primarily be a residence, and as you've heard, a 5,000 square foot house with one bedroom is not primarily a residence. So, this is just ridiculous. If you allow this, we might as well change Title 30, because anything and everything can become a home occupation. Zoning exists for a reason to protect neighborhoods like ours. Even if they were in a commercial zone, there's a 500 foot setback required for any residential properties. Here, they're wanting to put it right in the middle of our neighborhood with people across the fence on all sides of their property. Let's be honest, a kennel by any other name is still a kennel. It is a commercial business wanting to operate in our residential neighborhood. No one wants to live next to a kennel with hordes of barking dogs with extra traffic in and out all day long. So let's follow the law, the intent, and the written word of the law here. I have a quote from the Clark County Zoning Violations webpage. Quote, operation of a commercial business in a residential zone is prohibited. This is a commercial business and should be prohibited. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have an addendum to my letter that's in your binder.
Okay.
My name is Vincent Rock, and I am the homeowner at 7745 Radcliffe Street, directly adjacent to Las Vegas. A yard unkept, a pile of broken glass. The offer on my home went under contract 2 days before the applicants went under contract. I speak for myself and several adjoining neighbors who purchased their homes in the last couple years in saying that if there was a commercial operation, it would have made a material factor in our decision to put offers on our home. We all truly purchased our homes for the quiet, ranch-style, quiet atmosphere that we all like to call home. The applicant seeks to destroy that atmosphere. Our home's values and desirability will absolutely suffer, especially given the nature of the applicant's proposed commercial venture. The applicant's justification letter is a letter of half-truths, red herrings, contradictory statements, and unqualified opinions posing as studies based in science. The applicant from the beginning has sought a fully commercial operation and completed modifications before being shut down and are now masquerading as a residence with an ancillary business. Make no mistake, there's nothing ancillary about their business within this neighborhood. The home was modified from the beginning with the intent of being entirely a commercial operation, and they are attempting to now tailor their application to fit within the definition to gain approval, at which point, who will monitor and enforce the stated stipulations if approved, and what precedents for the community does this create? They will be enabled to conduct their business unchecked. I work from home, and from January through April 15th, I work from 6 in the morning to 6 at night, Monday through Saturday, and I did not travel to work. I have a direct view of the applicant's driveway from my kitchen/dining room window, my office window, and can see directly in their backyard from my patio. And I will be the most directly affected home by noise, pollution, and odor. Since January, I have not observed a vehicle there overnight or otherwise seen any indication of use of the property as a residence by anyone or at any time. The special permit they seek requires the home to be used primarily as for residential purposes, and the applicant has conveniently omitted any statement affirming that they will be the ones using the home as a residence from the justification letter that's available. I also find it highly questionable how an ancillary business that is secondary to the use as a residence has the need for employees. As the applicant has stated, the business will provide jobs, plural, to the community. From April 15th through May 11th, I kept a daily calendar of arrival and departures from the property. Activity was intermittent and brief during that entire time, which is documented in the addendum. At no point has the home given any appearance or indication of being used as a residence, whether temporary or continuous in nature. In January and February, the applicants had a commercial dumpster outside their home at some point in February. And at some point in February, a glass door or window from their dumpster was shattered outside of their dumpster in front of their driveway, resulting in a pile of glass. Glass can be dangerous, and above all, a pile of broken glass is unsightly. A pile of broken glass that remains in front of their property to this day. The applicant has also failed to maintain their yard of a home that is supposedly used as a residence. There are 2-foot-high weeds growing out of gaps in the astroturf around the home.
Try to finish up.
Yep. The applicants make claims of being able to regularly maintain noise and smell from the operation of both business, have been totally incapable of maintaining the landscape or picking up their pile of broken glass at the property. Actions speak louder than words. The applicants are eager to cite how they, quote, understand the weight of accountability and that their, quote, military backgrounds are rooted in discipline, strict adherence to regulations and personal responsibility, values which translate to their operational standards. Given their actions, the applicant's claims are unsubstantiated and are an embarrassment. Any claims or attempted connection to them to be good stewards of this land, community, or to adhere to standards and restrictions set by themselves or Clark County are clearly nothing more than empty words and should be taken with a grain of salt. This isn't a case of do you like dogs or do you support our veterans. This is a case of is it appropriate for a commercial venture within a residential neighborhood. A pile of broken glass is more than just a physical obscenity and blatant disregard for the community. It's a symbol of what approval of the applicant will do for this community.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
I'm sorry.
If we could not, I'm glad you're supportive, but if we could not clap so we could hear when he
goes. Okay,
go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. Good evening, board members. My name is Benjamin Tranquillo. Last name is spelled TranquiLlo. I'm the resident 7760 Don Jose. I've been a resident of Clark County for 40 years. I'm going to be very respectful of your time tonight. I appreciate you guys putting this first. First issue that I have with this is the precedent that it sets. I don't necessarily want our tiny little nice quiet community to be filled now with these like drive-up nail salons or just anything that could potentially end up in the neighborhood. That creates quite a bit of fear for not only myself but the balance of our community. My second one is to touch on what Mr. Cameron said about oversight. I don't understand what department of the government or what governance would go in play for regulation. And I think that kind of forces us to be a bit of a self-regulatory type community, which just creates an atmosphere of contention and conflict, which none of us want. And the last is the degradation of the streets. I understand that they claim that, you know, there's one street that feeds our neighborhood, and that street, unfortunately, I can't see how they would promise that every single person is going to turn around directly on that street. They're going to end up coming down through the balance of our neighborhood. Our streets are in pretty poor repair right now, and those streets are our responsibility in the first place. I don't think that we should be financially responsible for, you know, an increase in traffic, really, just any type of influence on our neighborhood that we have to take care of. So thank you very much for your time tonight, guys.
Thank you.
I very much appreciate it. Thank you.
Hello, board members. My name is Dick Gonzalez. I reside at 990 Ambrose Drive. My biggest concern is that I have kids. We walk around our neighborhood every single day. Now we would have to worry about random cars coming in. The neighborhood, everyone knows to drive very slowly in our neighborhood. As you can see, we're very tight community. We all just showed up here for this. My biggest concern is just I have kids. We walk the neighborhood. Now we would have to worry about cars coming in. I bought my property, raising my family there, a nice quiet property, and I haven't worried about random cars coming in back and forth. I'm all about business, you know, the time and a place to do things. This is not a place, this is a home, right? So to have random cars come in, it would be unnecessary. I have business as well. I have shops to park my cars. I can simply park a lot of stuff in my property, but I wouldn't want to bring my business into my house because that's my home. It's sacred for all of us. I don't think we'd want random people there at any time. Thank you.
Appreciate you. Make sure you keep it 3 minutes. I see two pages. State your name.
My name is Alice Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R, and myself and my husband Bruce live at 7793. We're right across the street from 7759. We lived here for 7 years. I would like to address the issue of odor. I can say from firsthand experience that artificial turf and dog urine do not go well together. I know this because we have the same exact turf as 7751 as the previous owners installed it for us. And even with doing twice as much maintenance on it as required, the smell of urine is still prevalent, and that's with two dogs. Since urine is not absorbed by the fibers, ammonia gets trapped and released in that infill layer. It's greatly accelerated by heat. So with the vagus winds, this persistent odor buildup can travel significantly. Treatments are minimally effective and require constant maintenance. And based on their lack of maintenance with the landscaping and the broken glass left in the street, it's hard to imagine that they would keep up on this. I'm going to talk again very briefly about noise and barking. And Whitney will be presenting her firsthand experience with this. But I'd like to add that before we purchased the house, we literally sat outside for extended periods during the day, during the night, just to make sure we didn't have these persistently barking dogs. And we did that because we've already lived through that in our previous home. And we assisted this young couple because they didn't have the money or the means. We bought them ultrasonic devices, different ones, different levels, more money, bark collars, all the things, and to no avail. And because, let's face it, dogs bark. That's what they do. And the thought of having 12 random dogs doing that all day is extremely concerning because I also work with them, and I'm directly across the street. So to believe the Karens have cracked the code on how to stop a pack of barking dogs and the smell of urine that will be virtually invisible, as they say on their website, is naive. It's all smoke and mirrors. And to wrap it up, I'd like to quote Melissa and Sean Bates, who reside at 914 Congress. They could not attend, from their opposition letter. We are deeply grateful to have found this peaceful, close-knit community and to call it home. It's our own slice of paradise, literally and figuratively. Please help us choose business. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Kelly Karn, 40-year resident of Las Vegas, 30 years in the
neighborhood. Can you state your address?
7739 Redfoot.
Thank you.
Corner to corner is just the property that we're talking about. We're kind of a tight-knit neighborhood. We self-govern ourselves. We watch out for each other. My boy and I are kind of the unofficial security guys for the neighborhood. We roll through the neighborhood 2 or 3 times a day and just look for people that shouldn't be there. Our concern is that if you up the traffic of people coming in, it's going to get worse than it has been, and it hasn't been bad yet because we're keeping an eye on it. But any with that increase, that many more people coming into the neighborhood just gives us that much more concern that the neighborhood wouldn't be as secure as it has been. So that's what I'm about.
Good evening. My name is Whitney Whiteman, W-H-I-T-E-M-A-N. I live at 7757 Bradford Street, which is right behind the proposed dog kennel. I've also been a resident of Las Vegas for over 30, 40 years. When I first heard about this, glass. I honestly thought it was a joke. I couldn't believe it. But clearly it's not, because here we are. Tonight you've listened to my neighbors express many, many valid reasons opposing this operation. So here is my new quick promise. My late husband and Ken Foss, previous owners of the now empty house, built a brick wall that borders both of our properties. When Ken let the dogs out, the sound was deafening. I mean, come on, let's face it. Dogs naturally bark. Because my bedroom window faces east, I can attest to this loud dog bark. I'm not sure how music is going to stop this. The fact that it might heighten their angst. Alice, as you heard, has firsthand experience that the music gimmick and the so-called calming tactics don't work. So again, along with the other concerns, keep in mind, if the dogs are outside and somebody, a lot of people have dogs in their neighborhood. If they're walking their dogs, the kennel dogs are going to be triggered, and then the barking's really going to escalate. So I strongly oppose this, and I hope you will too. There is no homeowner I have spoken to outside of our community that thinks that this is a good idea whatsoever, and I hope you will agree. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
My name is Kathleen Longshore, L-O-N-G-S-H-O-R-E. I reside at 910 Ambrose Drive. Resided in Clark County for 38 years, and have lived at 910 Ambrose for 35 years. I'm speaking in opposition to this proposed dog kennel grooming business that's intended to operate out of 7715 Radcliffe. As you know, our neighborhood has only one entry street. My house, our house, is right on the corner of that street. All the traffic in and out of the neighborhood goes by our house. On average, we've been having about 23 vehicles a day travel down Radcliffe, which is on the west side of my house. This traffic consists of about 10 residents coming and going multiple times and about 5 service vehicles. Things like FedEx. So the Camerons predict an additional 30 cars driving down that street through daily. This is daily. That more than doubles our current traffic flow. Now, normal casual use by residents is, of course, reasonable and just expected. But this additional traffic and associated noise is just unacceptable. I mean, I'm talking about cars driving back and forth. We've had this horrible experience before, and this exact same property. We had the prior residents use the property to operate their commercial astroturf business, and at the same time, they had their employees living in the house. And so they didn't have customers, they just had their employees, and they had their business. But the number of vehicles that drove back and forth along that street Radcliffe, lots of them were diesel trucks, regular big diesel trucks, they would work on them outside, lots of cursing went on. They would park, and they would circle around. I mean, just because the street goes out 500 yards doesn't mean that people don't circle around our neighborhood. It's a big U, and people like to go through and look at the houses. So, and those, of course, as you know, those streets are private streets that we have to maintain. So anyway, we had this thing, people would park, they'd sort of idle along a big fence, they'd sit there at the stop sign and idle for a very long time.
You got 30 seconds.
We could hear them in our house. They would mess around with their cell phones. It drove us nuts. And we don't want to repeat of this type of situation. So everyone in our neighborhood, we all bought our properties with expectation that this is and will continue to be a quiet neighborhood. The county should not breach that public trust.
10 seconds.
Residential neighborhood are for living, not for commercial operation.
Thank you.
Good evening, Chair, members of the board. My name is Noah Fischel, and I'm the principal of Silver Basin Strategies, address 209 Winsboro. But I'm here today as the authorized representative for Justin and Gail Fischel at 7709 Radcliffe, and the two businesses they operate, Cargo Logistics and Southern Nevada Diesel. Let me be clear at the outset, my clients are not opposed to home-based work on this drive. Mr. and Mrs. Fischel handle their billing, invoicing, and other administrative functions for their businesses from their home. But Mr. Fischel's Southern Nevada Diesel itself is registered at a separate commercial address precisely because the nature of that work cannot lawfully or practically be conducted from a residence. My clients understand the line between residential and commercial use, and they have organized their businesses to respect it. The applicant has done the opposite. By their own application, Barks Vegas is requesting four separate waivers from the Unified Development Code to allow outdoor activity, to allow clients on site, to permit 12 dogs where the code permits 3, and to waive commercial curb return driveway standards. The driveway waiver is the most telling. The applicant is conceding in their own filing that this use triggers commercial driveway standards and then asking to be exempt from meeting them. You cannot simultaneously claim residential character and seek relief from the commercial infrastructure standards your own operation would otherwise require. One brief response to the applicant's statement that this is not a commercial kennel or facility. You don't request a waiver from commercial driveway standards unless your use triggers them. Whatever the applicant chooses to call this operation, the code is already treating it as commercial, and that's why we're here. The property also sits on a private drive that residents themselves maintain. My client's home office generates no exterior traffic, a dog daycare with on-site clients, 12 dogs, employees, supplies, and waste pickup is fundamentally different use on an easement never contemplated for commercial access. The impacts compound from there. Sustained outdoor barking during business hours is incompatible with the home office work my clients conduct from their home. Concentrated animal waste raises drainage and odor concerns the residential code was not written to address, and the precedent of converting a single-family home into a customer-facing commercial enterprise on a private drive invites further conversions this neighborhood was never zoned to absorb. For these reasons, my clients ask this board to recommend denial. The number of waivers required is itself the answer. The use does not fit. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mary Casey. I live at 884 East Robindale Road, which is right out here, and I'm right across the way. So when people come, they're going to turn down this road. I have 3 dogs. I'm the person that walks late at night with them with the little collars, and we glow. So you can see us and know that we're there. There are no sidewalks. And I can't even imagine walking past this giant mansion filled with dogs, with my little dogs. It puts me in huge danger, and I know that there are several disabled neighbors who have puppies and who bark every time a car goes past, and it's putting them in danger as well to have that place there. I just wanted to address a couple of things also that I heard. So, it's interesting to me that there's sun treatment, and I understand what that is. There's a very, very heavy sheets of compressed material that you actually have to put behind the walls. So that's very expensive. And to put that in a mansion, it doesn't make sense unless it is for a business. And so that I found that interesting. Also, I unfortunately had the experience of putting my horse, or my cart before my horse, and I was going to do Airbnb, and I did it in the, so the Airbnb is all around you. That's not true. There are not Airbnbs. You have over 3 bedrooms, then you cannot do it. If it's in 1,000 feet, you cannot do it, and if you do it, the city will fine you in very big ways, which you deserve, because it's against the law. I just wanted to address that.
Thank you.
Ryan Dillashaw, 915 Ambrose, owner.
What was your last name, please?
Dillashaw, D-O-R-E-S-H-A-L.
Thank you.
Resident of the community for 2 years, Clark County for almost 30 now. I can tell you, thank you guys for your service being here. I understand we're trying to push this along. Civil servant, I'll say I am as well. For the community, being a first responder, I looked painstakingly for many, many, many months to try to locate a home that's going to be a forever home for my family, right? A lot of things go into it, especially coming from a first responder background. Chemistry is everything. With one drop or one bad outlet or one thing, you can change anything. You can collapse the entire community. I think having, I don't attend all your meetings, but I apologize for that, but I think the number of hands that were raised right here shows you that as taxpayers and the representation of what you guys are for us, is we are for you, as the taxpayers and the people of this community, the voice that we're asking for, is to please keep that community, the chemistry intact, respect everything that we've built, and if it is such a good thing, such a great thing, such a great addition, then the question is, why wouldn't the petitioners do this at their primary home? Why would they buy a second one away from that to do this and ask for a waiver in the process? So thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on this item?
Here we go.
Is this the last? Is there anybody else after you?
Last of all,
I just want to make sure, because I'll close it to the public, and once I close it, you can't talk.
Team Paradise. Welcome. Look
state
at this
your,
group.
State, you got to direct
Thomas the Hager, 925 Ambrose Drive.
And then
Drive.
Just direct the board and just...
Isn't this a good-looking bunch?
It is. Do you have a point on the application?
I do.
Every agenda item.
What we represent in this neighborhood that has been described from several different points is tranquility. You hear that? You see how peaceful this is right now? That's when I walk out my front door. I do not want to see the tranquility go away with hustle and bustle and cars and barking dogs. I mean, this is, I'm just going to give it to from the gut. This is absurd what is attempting to take place. This is our home. This is where we chose, and it's a pocket. You guys should come by. You should come by and see. It's just a quiet little pocket. And you are the power, and we are the people. But let's come. There are binding and there are rules set in place. I hope we can follow those rules so we can live in tranquility. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. That's it. Okay. I'm going to have to close it to the public, but we want to ask, is there anyone here, and you can either raise your hand or come up and speak, supporting it? No one. Okay, so we have zero there. Got that number?
Thank
okay.
you.
I'm going to give it back. Here's what I have to do. I have to give it back to the applicant. Now, we can allow you to answer some of their questions, and I have making some notes.
Sure.
And you can either do that, or you can let the board bring it. It's up to you if you want us to address questions to you that they ask. Now, you won't to the public. You're just okay. So do you want to address some of the questions?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd like to do both. If I could address some questions, you know, some statements, and then...
Yeah, if you want to address whatever you saw
okay.
that you heard, and then if there's anything missing.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. If there's anything that I need to add that I heard that, or that, then we'll get there. So go ahead and do what you want to. And remember to us, not to them.
Of course.
And remember, just let them speak, and we'll we heard you guys loud and clear.
Okay, so first, some of these were probably grouped together, but it was based off of who was commenting when.
That's fine.
One of the questions was, why didn't we come before the board before we purchased the property? That's not how you can't do that without having a property to file for an application for a license. So, unfortunately, and we did look for commercial property, and there was some assumptions that this is not going to be our primary residence. We actually have over 2,000, almost 300, or almost 3,000 square foot of the residence that's carved out for us, not for the dogs. So there were some assumptions on that. Dogs would be in two groups on opposite ends of the residence. So we have a space for large, and we have a space for small and medium. We anticipate six per, and at no time would all 12 be outside at one time. They would be in their respective groups, going outside for outside playtime, and then spending the majority of the time back to the residence. As far as being vocal because of other dogs, the fencing that we have is not see-through. They're solid metal fencing. So dogs in our care, in our backyard, would not see any people walking or any other dogs on the outside.
Excuse me. If you're going to speak, can you take it outside?
It's good.
Okay, thank you.
Earlier on, there was talk about gutter and runoff. Our home is on a septic tank, and any kind of water activities would be, well, there's no water activity, we don't have a pool. We do have a specific drain that would be going directly into our septic tank. As far as the traffic concern, I'd be interested to know if this body or anybody has ever addressed how many Amazon deliveries, FedEx, postal service, landscaping, commercial contracting, anything that's come through any neighborhood. And even with our increase, we are that street is still well below the Clark County threshold of what it can handle. The company that we use for turf cleaning is a company called Turfresh, and they actually use enzyme, bacterial, microbial eating solutions. So whether urine is in the turf or not, we spray it down nightly, or that's our procedure, would be to spray it down nightly with this solution, and then monthly have the professionals come out, brush all the grass, and then treat it again. I think it's also important to note that the proximity of our property to the nearest property is 140 feet, versus, and it goes out as far as over 700 to 800 feet from our property. And a lot of those voices that were heard today were in the 300 to 400 feet away from our property, which puts a lot of material between us and them that would disperse any noise that there would be or any odor that there may be. And we have actually had support, but unfortunately, the people that do support us don't want it to be on the record. I'd be more than happy to play a voicemail for the board in private, if that's what you wish. But there are people within the neighborhood that have no issue with us, that have contacted us directly and stated so.
They're afraid of retaliation.
And they're worried about retaliation, is that right? And then also, it was mentioned about the previous owner having a business that was running out of their property, that they, you know, was a complaint filed against them for their services that they were providing outside of their private their property. And I will say there is a, and we did do a sound test, there is a lot of ambient noise in the neighborhood from the flight path, from the airport, to just regular wind and everything else, which when we did the testing of the sound of a dog barking at its highest pitch inside, it dissipates before it even gets to the property line. So, and then also for the record, it has been admitted, there are other company, other businesses that do operate within the neighborhood. Whether they claim people come or not, we've been told as new people, we obviously haven't had that visibility, but individuals that have come to us that have said they support us have also mentioned, hey, you know, there have been other businesses in the neighborhood that conduct business. So aside from that, I want to be transparent with the board. We did offer the opportunity to meet with every single person here, and not one person took us up on that opportunity. Or we could have had actual conversation, and might not have convinced everybody, but we could have shown them what we've done to mitigate their concerns. Because we do believe in listening to the community. We want to be part of the community, and this is a net positive for the entire area. That's my response.
I closed it to the public, so I apologize. I'm going to open it up. You're good. Yeah, done. Yeah. Moving forward. I'm going to open it to the board. Here's my problem with it. I'm in a small community too, and we're pretty all networking, and we have a lot of businesses that run out of their homes. But this one, supposedly what I'm hearing, my question to you is, are you living on the property or not?
As soon as we get approved, we will be, yes. And it is.
But you're not living there now. Is it going to be your primary residence?
It is going to be our primary residence, and the assumption that this is our second property.
That's not my question. My question is, this is going to be your primary home. You will be there 24 hours a day when you're there with the dog. Second of all, the home that you chose, and I did drive by the neighborhood. I did go out because it's kind of close where I out there. I just can't see the traffic not impacting. And I do believe that, because the more people you have going to a property, you can say FedEx, you can say that, we all do that. We all have deliveries, Uber drivers. That's kind of normal. They come and go through the whole neighborhood. That's everybody. It reaches out to the whole neighborhood. You're saying that you're going to have so many cars a day coming down that street, parking in front of your house, dropping off their dogs, coming and going. So to me, that's a big problem for that neighborhood.
They would be scheduled, and we do have nine spots on property.
It just is impacting it, though. You can't be in denial that it's not going to bring a lot of traffic. So that's my biggest concern. It's just, to me, I would have thought, and they do give, if you make a deal with the property, and I've done it with some of mine, is on contingency, if I can get the zoning, I'll buy the house. And I know you might not have got that one, but they do those deals. I deal with them all the time. So I'm kind of curious why you thought that it would be just, we're just going to do it, tear it apart, and move in.
We didn't tear anything apart.
You haven't done anything yet.
We haven't removed anything. Okay. Everything is in place. The only thing that we've done structurally different within the property is in the downstairs main living area, we put up a 5-foot fence.
Okay.
That's all we've done. Everything else, the rooms, intact. No change. The shed that was there on property before we moved there, we resurfaced the floor, and we put plywood on the walls. The light, the electrical was already there, the shed was already there, the foundation was already there. We've done nothing to the property other than put a 5-foot fence up and clean up the place.
Okay. Well, I'll open it to my board and see what else.
Okay. I have a couple of questions. It appears that you advertised your services just after you purchased it. Was that correct? It appears that you advertised it prior to getting any approval. You advertised it,
right? And that was an error on my part. I'm not a web designer, but I did our website. I thought on the back end I had a different site that was live, and I was working on what was going to go live once we got approved. I did not realize. As soon as I was brought to my attention, that was removed, and the regular page was put up.
Yeah, and when you talked about buying this, your realtor didn't give you any idea that you'd need a permit or a waiver or anything like that?
I mean, we've been in a discussion with this for over a year. And we did try going commercial property route, and that's where we ran into contingency on approval. But it didn't come to fruition.
Okay. The other concern I have is the traffic is an issue, and granted you're going to tell them that they have to come at 9 o'clock. Guess what? I'm a dog owner, and I'm going to come at 8:30, or I'm going to come at 10:30. People, you know, it's great to schedule, but I was late for a meeting today. So, you know, the scheduling really won't work. I mean, it'll work part of the time, but it's not going to always work. And I have to tell you, if I was in this neighborhood, I would totally, totally be sitting right there with them. I think this is an inappropriate use for that. And you called it a residence. Inappropriate use for that residence. That's my opinion.
So you said just a second ago that you plan on moving in once the application goes through.
Correct.
Why is your residency contingent on this application?
No, because we had another property that we're living in now, and while construction was going on cleaning up that residence, it made more sense to maintain where we were at instead of moving on.
So if this isn't approved, you're not going to move in?
I didn't say that.
Well, I'm asking.
we'll move in. We'll make that decision, yes. We'll move in.
Okay. So, staff does not support this. They even highlight here that the use permit that you're requesting isn't really even appropriate for what you're trying to do, because this ultimately, taking away the parking, taking away the traffic, taking away the noise and the odor and all that, you're trying to run a business in a residential area, and it's not appropriate use. Right? Like, you're registered with the Secretary of State as being agents for a commercial business, Barks Vegas. This is a commercial operation. You're trying to run out of the house. The neighborhood doesn't support it. Clark County doesn't support it. I'm not getting to a place, even with all your mitigating arguments about a commercial company coming out to clean out the turf and all that. Those are all just addendums to the central problem of you're trying to run a business in a residence, and it's not appropriate. I am not supportive of approval.
So if I could ask then, in not in a sarcastic way, but what's the difference between this and a home child care that has over 6 to 10 children under, in a residential
child care home? Licensing is defined in NAC 232A. It's defined in statute. It's authorized by the federal and state government. My agency that you quoted there actually runs child care licensing. I think that there is a very obvious difference between child care, which is a need and a necessity for our economy and our society, versus a luxury daycare for dogs.
But they have the same footprint, do they not? Do they have the same concerns?
One is defined in statute. One is authorized by the federal and state government. This is not.
And also the use permit that was.
I'm not going to go back and forth.
No. I'm not trying to.
Okay.
That's
all I have to say.
I think the other thing is each person that wants to run a business of a residential zone property goes through the same process here. It's not one or the other. So let's say we had 4 child cares and it was in an area that was going to do no parking, no drop-off safety. Those are different issues. So we can't compare a child care to yours, because every business that is working out of a residential zone has to come and go through the permits, get the licensing. So it's a different, you can't compare the two. And even if it's a luxury dog care, and I'm not saying that people shouldn't have some place to leave their dogs. I love my animals. I'd love to have a dog care when I can't be home with them. But it is just, you can't compare the two. And I think that's his comment. They're all different situations. So I guess that's where that, we don't want to go back and forth with that, because we can't compare one case to the other. We just have you in front of us for this application. Okay? John, do you have something to say?
Through the years, we have approved businesses in residential areas that are very discreet. I can think of a psychiatrist or a psychologist, the one you see 1 or 2 people a day. An esthetician that saw 2 or 3 people a day. Maybe somebody had an accounting business out of their home. Very little traffic, if any. This is a commercial enterprise that belongs in a commercial center, not in a residential neighborhood. You're looking at least 30 vehicles a day. I don't know if we're counting deliveries or what. That's double what they're already getting in the neighborhood. And it's a private street. And they're the ones that have to take care of it. And they're struggling to do that.
I believe right, but it was a public hearing. That's a public hearing.
So, I just can't support. A residential area is for people who work or don't work, maybe they're retired. They want to live someplace where it's quiet, they can enjoy themselves, and not have a lot of cars coming in and out of the neighborhood or one thing or the other. It's a residential area. It's a place to live. Not for a large business, particularly a tenant. That's the commercial center. Where do you see that? Any place else in town?
We actually took our dogs from one that was brought up.
Okay, and maybe it's not permitted. And then, if it were approved, somebody is going to wind up having to oversee it, and there's complaints, and then here comes code enforcement and everybody else now, but that's fair to the citizens and taxpayers. So I cannot support this in any way, shape, or form. There's absolutely no grounds that I can see for approval. And that's my position.
Is it Mr. Cameron?
Yeah.
Is it? I've been here 65 years. And I've watched this whole town change. I don't know if it's from here or not. I don't know. But I remember when the city of Henderson had 25,000 people in the whole city of Henderson. And these communities that are all in here and are represented by all these individuals are little pieces of niches that are carved out by those type of individuals that thrive for those kind of communities. What I did in my career is I watched a lot of things that happened that was because of adversity. By your own self, what you told us is that there were certain individuals that were even willing to support you, but they were worried about retaliation. That alone is such a red flag up in there. Just that. Because, I mean, you have enough individuals that are averse to this that it seems that there will be just continued problems. Not only for them in their own mind and their thoughts, but for you. And what happens here with what you're proposing changes the character of the neighborhood. And that's not the neighborhood that they want. And it's unfortunate that where you're at here, I would think there would be a little bit better way to approach it. I applaud you because I see that you've got some ambition and you want to do certain things for animals and that, and I applaud you for that, I do. But this will create, based on just what was addressed tonight from anybody that spoke, in their opinion, it creates a number of burdens in that neighborhood. And that's something that you're going to have to try to overcome. I don't see how you're going to do it with this. Like I said, the neighborhoods that we're looking at, we're losing a lot of that in this community. And people that are from here that seek out those type of neighborhoods aren't finding them as readily as they were. And so, you know, I see you did a tremendous amount of work here. But my first act here was, I guess, for you.
Okay, so we've heard from everybody. Everybody's pretty good. I'm gonna make a motion on it for denial. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? But they still move forward to the Clark County Commissioners on 5/20. So you guys, what is it?
6/3.
Oh, 6/30. Sorry, 6/3. Sorry. I went back to 1. I was trying. And you guys, thank you for coming. We love hearing from the neighbors. And you guys can depart if you want. You can stay for the rest. Or
for the board.
Bye, people.
Thank you. I want to get these people out.
And if we could, excuse me.
Oh.
Excuse me. Anybody that's not here for the next agenda items, I ask you kindly to take conversations
outside.
Out.
Oh, I got some of
that.
So you don't have to kill another tree.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move on to item agenda number 1, UC260186. EHH Venture use permit for allowing an outdoor dining, drinking, and cooking, waiver of development standards, and modified parking and design standards design review for modification in a previous approved industrial commercial development of a 3.44-acre portion of 8.06-acre in an IP industrial park zone and a CG general commercial zone with airport overlay, generally located south of Sunset and west of Spencer Road within Paradise. Thank you for being so patient.
Good evening, Karen Richardson.
You want to get the mic, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely. One, two. All right, Karen Richardson, on behalf of the applicant, I'm at 341 Simon Goldhart, Henderson, Nevada. As this project that you see on the screen right now advanced beyond the original 2024 land use application we brought before you, the updated Title 30 pedestrian circulation requirements were evaluated more closely, and that led to the refinement that you see today in the application for a use permit for outdoor dining, a new design review, and a waiver. As you can see, the building is under construction and has been since late 2025, with tilt-up panels that are already in place and a site layout that is fixed. So redesigning to accommodate the full 5-foot sidewalk separation, which is the subject of the waiver, is not feasible at this stage. I do want to clarify one point in the staff report, and that's the sidewalk on the east side of the front entry is not reduced to 3 feet as stated in the staff report. It is 4 feet 6 inches. So roughly 10% deviation from the standard, but it still provides a continuous functional pedestrian path consistent with the intent of safety. Now let me just put the full site plan up here. So the area I was referring to, this 5-foot sidewalk on the east side of the front entry, is 5 feet that slightly transitions to that 4'6" in front of the parking on the side of the building. The other area that staff has commented on, or I'm sorry, that is really part of our waiver, not that staff hasn't commented on, is on the west side of the building, this area right here. And we've addressed safety for pedestrians by striping the asphalt to show a clear path all the way to around to the front of the building. I know it's a little difficult to see because of the shading, but the shading indicates the entire restaurant that was previously approved. But this little squiggly line, if you will, is our new outdoor dining that is the subject of our use permit tonight. I also brought a copy of the revised justification letter, which was submitted to staff on May 5th, correcting that 3-foot dimension stated in the staff report to 4'6". So essentially, the design review denial is tied entirely to the sidewalk waiver. Staff states in the write-up that without support of the waiver, they can't support the design review. So that isn't a design quality issue. It's a single policy decision on the waiver. The design review and the use permit provides the outdoor dining area, which I showed you in this the area of about 1,200 square feet, and it does increase our parking requirement. We've addressed that by going into an agreement with our neighbor to the west, which is an existing shopping center, and at the front of that property is a bar and a tavern, and the parking closest to our site is what we will be sharing to accommodate the additional restaurant outdoor dining. So with that context, the question before you, at least in our view, is straightforward, and it comes down to 3 points. We have a minor adjustment, not a safety reduction. The sidewalk is, again, 4'6" in a very small area on the east side of the front of the building. and it maintains a continuous pedestrian path. The striped pedestrian path from the west parking area maintains a continuous path as well. It is a near compliant condition, not a substandard one. We do understand the standard is pedestrian safety, and safety is achieved through the defined pedestrian paths with a combination of the low-speed internal circulation of vehicles and reduced conflict points due to our excess parking. Functionally, the site operates safely. There are no findings of incompatibility or architectural deficiency. And the design review denial is procedural based solely on the waiver. So with the corrected dimension, the sidewalk remains functional and consistent with the intent of pedestrian safety. And if the board supports the waiver, the design review remains consistent with Title 30. We respectfully request approval of the use permit, the design review, and the waiver.
Is there anybody from the public that would like to speak on this agenda item? Seeing no one, I'm closing it to the public and I will open it to the board.
I have a question. Why are you not compliant?
That's a good question.
Isn't that?
Yeah.
So no, I wondered why that.
Title 30 changed, the new Title 30 became effective January 2024.
Right.
This application could have been one of the early applications after that change, and when we were approved in about October of 2024, nobody caught that the pedestrian separation between the drive aisle and the building was a requirement.
Okay. So in that time, since December of 24, you went ahead and built it, and nobody caught that you weren't compliant.
That is correct. This.
So, could you be compliant if we turned down the use permit?
No, we cannot be compliant.
You would still not be compliant?
Correct. The site began construction sometime late in 2025, so all of the paving, the parking, the EV stations, the sidewalks, the front of the building face, those are in place right now. And those tilt-up panels can't move enough to gain 5 feet.
And show me again, how much area are we talking about there?
How much area are we talking about?
It would supposedly be unsafe.
So on the front of the building, on the east side, mm-hmm. we begin at 5 feet, and it starts to transition down to about 4'6", right about there, and continues to the corner of the building. On the west side of the building, there is striped asphalt adjacent to the building, all the way around the front of the building to the accessible striped area, and then to the sidewalk to the front door.
So it goes from 5 foot down to 4.5?
5 foot down to 4.6 mm-hmm. in this area. Mm-hmm. The striped area is 5 feet wide. Okay. So along the west side and the front of the building in this drive aisle, that striped area is 5 feet. It's this small area about the width of my finger, that's 4'6". Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what it looks like today.
I don't really see it make that big of a change.
Is there any reason why the striped area is it or can't be sidewalk?
This building is a manufacturing building for manufacturing for products, wood products and casework and things like that that go into hotels. So having a step on the outside, so right here there's at least one door. One door where somebody working inside the building would come out potentially with product to load it into a truck. And so a sidewalk with a step is a bit of a liability.
Why can't there be a ramp? A sidewalk with a ramp?
A ramp coming out of the door, you mean?
Yeah. Because you're worried about drop off.
Yeah. I do think there is some slope on that door to on the asphalt, but it's really to create a zero step condition.
So the concern, though, from planning is the lack of sidewalk there.
Lack of sidewalk based on that. That brand new requirement in 24 that said separate drive aisle and building.
If you were to put a sidewalk there, would it change the dynamics of the driveway?
Yes, actually it would. We would lose the fire truck access. We wouldn't be wide enough for emergency vehicle access.
So then the purpose of this of the markings is just for to tell people that's where you walk?
Correct.
But fire trucks can drive on it as well.
Yes, in an emergency, presumably people would be
so
that, not in
there,
that area.
So there's your safety issue right there, is that people are walking in a right-of-way, thinking that we're fine with that, but it's still a right-of-way of vehicles. That's the safety concern.
It is still the drive aisle, correct. Yeah.
And you're saying they can't widen that on the other side to accommodate the fire truck? That's the whole concern.
Widen it here? Are you referring to
the other? Yeah, the other. No, across from the striped area.
All of the walls for this building are constructed. Okay. They're up. These are 40-foot tall concrete panels.
Well, what's the distance between? I don't have it. East or south, east or west. I guess it would be, if that sunset up there, it would be west. So what's the difference between the west wall right there where you had your finger and over to the striped, the start of the striped area? You know? No. Right where you had your finger, back over, go to right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right where your finger's at. You have a striped walkway. What's the distance between, is there a wall right there to the left of your finger now?
This is the building wall right here.
Okay, but what? Okay, you're not.
Yeah, this is parking.
Okay.
Drive aisle and parking.
Okay.
Comes around to the front of the building. This is concrete, a patio basically, to the entry of the front of the building. This is sidewalk in front of the parking.
So where the parking is over on the west end over there, if the vehicle's in there, it would limit a fire truck's entrance without driving up on that striped area. Is that true?
Correct.
Can I ask Kenny, when this was originally approved, and my understanding that the code had changed, and they were approved shortly after that, and the county didn't catch this, and they didn't catch it either?
That's what it sounds like. Yeah, I don't know the details of the approval, but it was under the new code. It's possible.
And it just didn't get noticed by either the county or the builder.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, to me, it's kind of like they're trying to come up with a way to meet as best they can. It wasn't totally their fault in the first place that we're in this jam.
I just want to record one thing. My problem with the striping is that we don't maintain them around town. So the color goes away. So like your crosswalks, your coloring. So that's I can see where the safety would be not so much a sidewalk as a fire truck. My son-in-law drives over everything on a fire truck. They need to get in. I mean, it's just what they do. My thing is that concerns me, is when we're saying we're striping it and then the management company doesn't keep it bright and orange and someone's carrying something and it's not bright and orange, that's where I would get concerned. And I get the kind of, this is kind of the, like John was saying, I agree with him, but I don't know.
It's kind of a liability issue if they don't keep it striped.
I guess that would be back on you. If someone
that would be on.
So for,
you know, but I just think I just,
it's kind of like
this is the second time we've run into this.
I know.
I brought it up last time.
Well,
you know, you can go to a shopping center, go to Smith's or Albertsons or wherever, and frankly, when you get out of your car, you're on your own until you get a building. And now we're kind of quibbling over this small amount, which really wasn't your fault and wasn't necessary to count because everything is new and it takes time to get everything in place. So I just think, I don't know, I just feel like if it's denied, then they're kind of being penalized for something that's not totally their fault.
Well, so for county, I'm trying to just separate the two concepts because we have a lot going on here in the redesign. We have a new use permit for the outdoor dining, drinking, and cooking. If we take all of that aside, would they still need the waiver for the side mix? Like, is any of this redesign, use permitting, is any of this a creation of a waiver request by their own hand? Could it have been avoided had they not done all this redesigning and use permit?
Yeah, to kind of give two examples of it. One, if they were not redesigning at all, they were building for the plans that were approved. If it was approved for plans, they wouldn't be penalized, you know, retroactively to come back and do the sidewalk. But secondly, if they are redesigning the site as they're proposing to do, if they are subject to current code, and obviously this time we've got that requirement for the sidewalk, so they're held to that, you know, development standard with this application.
So I do want to be clear about how the building started construction in 2025 under the approval, the 2024 approval.
And then
with the exception of this sidewalk. So the walls, the footprint of this building has never changed. The only thing that's changing with this application is the outdoor dining.
Right.
That has increased parking requirements, but it doesn't have a separation from a parking from a drive-by requirement. It's the building that's required now by code to be separated by 5 feet.
No, I understand that. I'm just trying to clarify that none of this is a self-imposed hardship because of your redesign and the use permit. Because it looks like you're relocating EV charging spaces?
Yes.
EV charging spaces? Like, there's a lot going on here in the redesign.
There's a lot going on.
And it's very difficult for me to determine if any of this is self-imposed hardship.
I believe it is not self-imposed.
Okay.
The reason the EV chargers moved is because when the shell permit was pulled for the building department said, you can't have the EV chargers where you have them located because your accessible spaces need an EV charger.
Okay.
So we had to move an EV charger over to an accessible space. And that left 4 EV chargers kind of hanging out here in front of the building that impeded the 5-foot sidewalk. So those EV chargers are now moved over here where they don't impede anything.
Okay, but that sidewalk isn't 5 feet anyway, right?
This sidewalk is 5 feet that transitions to about 4'6"
right here.
Semantics. So it kind of sounds like, I mean, we have to.
So you had to do that because one of the EV chargers, at least one, had to be accessible.
Right.
Yeah.
We moved
Sunrise Hospital
all of
the
EV chargers that were in front of the building. We moved one over to an accessible space, and the remainder were right here.
Yeah. I saw that in Sunrise. That was in Chester.
Anything else?
I will make a motion. I will make a motion to approve the use permit approve the waiver of development standards and approve the design review pursuant to the if-approved staff conditions.
The staff conditions. You agree with all staff conditions, right?
Yes.
Okay. Didn't want to go through all that for you, and then.
Yes.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor to approve with the use permit, design review, and what was the other development standards with preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Applicant number two, WS260184, County of Clark County Aviation and Hangar 145-18 LLC, lease waiver of development standards to modify driveway geometrics, design review for proposed aircraft hangars in conjunction with an existing office warehouse and aircraft hangar complex on a 12.7 acre in a PF public facility zone within an airport overlay, generally located north of Reno Avenue and east of Haven Street within Paradise.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Greg SCC representing the application on this one. I wasn't going to go into the full presentation because if you'll remember, we saw this exactly 2 weeks ago, but Mr. Kepmark didn't see it 2 weeks ago, so I have to do go into a little bit of detail here. So if you'll recall, currently, there are 14 airplane hangars in five different buildings on that one sort of back street that sort of dumps off into the Luxor and Mandalay Bay across Las Vegas Boulevard. The plan is to remove the 14 vacant hangars, Ms. Wittes. Your question was whether or not we were kicking people out. They are currently vacant, so we're not evicting anybody or kicking anybody out. The plan is to take these five buildings out and instead have one large building that can accommodate bigger airplanes. And the purpose of this is the airport wants to get away from those smaller charter planes or tourist planes, things like that, and get into the larger planes that currently have to land, drop their passengers off, take back off, and park in either Henderson or Las Vegas. And so the airport is in full support of this application. This is what hangars are going to look like. And if you'll recall, Madam Chairman, what your concern was is that we had resubmitted plans based on Public Works' objections. We took their objections to heart. We changed the design of the entire project. We moved the building 18 feet 6 inches to the south in order to accommodate for the dry aisle throat deck, which was their biggest objection. So we're back in front of you today, actually. And so Lucy, who was back from vacation where I was filling in, she's going to go over it way better than I can. So.
Good evening. Lucy Stewart, 1930 Village Center Circle, representing the applicant and the airport. And again, as Greg mentioned, this is the area of our development. We're not doing anything here or in this portion, but we were required to file waivers on this driveway because it's all on airport property. So we did make changes. We did submit them to the county 2 weeks ago. The building did shift to the south. Before, we had to move the parking there that's very existing. We put the parking back, which I think fixed the problem with the throat depth, and that seemed to be the biggest concern of the of Public Works. So the area that's in red is the change where we put the parking back on our side plane. The red showing in the hangars, there's three hangars of 25,504 feet. We have parking inside the hangars.
Your puppies over here.
And we removed them and just put them up in this area. We also had some parking down here, and we put it back up where the existing parking is. So this basically, the street frontage remains the same. The landscaping remains the same. The driveways remain the same. Nothing changes in that area. In fact, it's the same amount of parking that we had before. I'd like to kind of go over the waivers because that seems to be the area of concern. Like waiver 1A is regarding the pan driveway, which is this driveway to the east We're not touching it. It's not even in our area of construction. We're not touching this part, I don't think, because we're going from 14 hangars down to 3, which are larger and will accommodate larger planes. We think that we'll have significantly reduced any amount of traffic that we have. And I suspect any traffic, if we have hardly at all, will come from this driveway. Waiver 1B, which was the one that when I was out of the country, the contractor went down to the county, spoke to Public Works, and that seemed to be their little sticking point, was to throw it down, because we did change it by removing the parking. We've made, and their concern was cars stacking out onto the street. So we put the parking back in. This remains the same. I think that addresses their concern. We did send it to them. We just received an email from them that they accepted our plans. They can address the already comments on it. So I can just let you know what the conversation that we've had with them. But we are withdrawing that way. So we're going to draw that. I think that's the point of contention. Then waiver 1C is the driveway that accesses our side, this one, and it's 1 foot short in width. Less wide. And the concern is that it's a concern for safety. So we have an email from the fire department saying they're fine with that driveway, that the radius, the width, everything works fine for them. We met with them, we've got a fire plan with them, and they've accommodated that. And then waivers, when these, again, the existing eastern driveway, we're not touching it. It's not even part of our area. And then 1E and the radius for the existing driveways, and again, we're not touching the driveways. Everything's remaining the same on Reno. The driveways, the landscaping, everything, we're not touching it. We're just changing basically south of the park. And with that, we respect the request for
approval. Okay. Is there anybody here from the public that would like to speak on this agenda item? Seeing no one, closing it to the public. Open to So are you withdrawing 1B, 1D, 1E, and 1F?
No, just 1B.
Just 1B. Yes. But you're not touching, because so the staff is saying they can't support them, so that's why I was confused on what you were saying. So, Linda.
They can't support, they're made it, that's kind of the weird issue about the new code.
Yeah.
That when you come in with something, even if you're not touching it, they make you apply for a waiver for it. Because in that way, you have to meet the current code, and that makes it meet the current code if you get a waiver. It's an odd way. But if it's approved, then we meet the new code because we have a waiver.
Okay.
At such time in the future, when we come into the east, which we, you know, and attach that driveway, then at that time we'll address that driveway. But at this point in time, it's just this area. And we have radius on our driveways and broke depth, and I think we meet the intent of.
So I find the staff, the public works piece in 1A to be interesting, because it says, with the area changing due to the adjacent new developments, the area will experience significantly higher vehicle and pedestrian traffic, the statement. For some reason that becomes your problem when you want to build on your site. Make them do it.
Well, and I don't know what the area is. I think they're talking maybe the stadium.
I assume. Like you're responsible for the driveway all the way across the way, but it's not your problem. I think you guys have been very patient coming back for the second meeting. You went back and you changed your plans to accommodate. I think you're being very reasonable. I am supportive of approving the application with the exception of 1D that you don't care about.
I'm withdrawing.
Here.
Yeah.
What is that? Put that on record. Bill, do you have anything?
No.
Do you want me to make?
I can make a motion.
Okay, it's up to you.
I move to make a motion to approve the design review and waiver of development standards 1A, 1C, 1D, 1E, 1F. Noting that 1B was withdrawn by the applicant.
Okay. Okay, there's a motion on the floor to approve the application for design review, and 1A, 1C, 1E, and 1F, and removing 1B, and with preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you for being so patient, you guys. UC 26020-4185 West Harmon LLC use permit to allow outdoor storage design review for outdoor storage in conjunction with an existing equipment rental and sales facility on 2.24 acres in a IL industrial light zone generally located south of Harmon Avenue and west of Wayne Road within Paradise. Welcome.
Good evening. Chris Molina here on behalf of the Grand Safeway applicant. This one has a little bit of a history here, so I'll start. 2 years ago, Grand Safeway acquired several competitors and different brands in this space. You know, the Grand Safeway is that they do scaffolding equipment and materials primarily. And Spire, you can see the little office right here. They do like suspension for those types of things for complex scaffolding. So what happened was is that they acquired Spire. Spire was in the building. Spire applied for a business license. Business license application triggered a zoning compliance check. Some review from planning came out, and they looked out, and this is the driveway there, and the comment was, seems like there's an excessive amount of outdoor storage here. And
we'll
so,
gave it away. Go ahead.
So one important thing to point out here is that the property is zoned IL. Outdoor storage is conditional use in the IL zone, subject to meeting certain requirements. One of those requirements is that you can't stack anything outside that's higher than the height of the required fence at the front of the property. And so I drew this box around here so that you can see that down here on the south you actually have some like hurt rentals, lift equipment. So like it doesn't even matter if they didn't meet the stacking height, but you're still gonna see the construction equipment behind this property from the street. So, in any event, we went through, discussions with planning staff, and then, maybe a year ago, Spire was merged into Grand Safeway, so now they don't need a business license, but we realized that, we do need some kind of entitlement to see the stacking height for their conditional use, and essentially, there's no way that they can continue their operations on the site without using these storage racks outside. You can see how the trucks basically come in, the scaffolding materials get loaded directly onto the truck, and then they drive back out of the yard, and the next customer comes in, they load them up. So these racks that you see here in the photo are about 16 feet high. The fence in the front is 6 feet. The applicant is proposing to do some improved fencing. Basically, it'll keep the lattice fencing, but we'll put slats in it to kind of, screen some of the outdoor storage from view. And that's essentially it. I mean, that's the nature of the request. I think that the staff recommendation is kind of on point here. They're saying that they're on board with this request, and essentially it's because this property is really in the heart of an industrial area that's not bothering anybody. I drove by it on my way here. It's a dead zone. There's nobody driving on Harmon Avenue between 5 and 6 p.m. So don't think it's going to have any adverse impacts on the property. I mean, obviously, this is the existing condition. It's been here for 20-something years, maybe longer. So we would appreciate a recommendation of approval.
Okay. Is there anybody here from the public that would like to speak on this agenda item? Seeing no one, closing it to the public, open it to the board. If nobody has any complaints, does anybody have anything to say? I'll make a motion. You make a motion. Okay, go ahead.
Make a motion to approve subject with staff's preliminary conditions.
There's a motion on the floor to approve with preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Thank you. Have a good night. UC 26022823 06, Pama Lane LLC, use permit to allow the place of worship in conjunction with an existing office complex on a 0.59 acre portion of a 3.12 total acre site in an IP industrial park zone within the airport overlay, generally located north of Pama Lane, west of Eastern Avenue within Paradise. Welcome.
Good evening. My name is Andrea Carroll, 1980 Festival Plaza Drive. Architect here on behalf of the applicant. We have an existing building located within an existing industrial front and office park. We are located on Pama Lane, just west of Eastern. I think you can see this little key map here, that's Eastern there. We're an existing building. We're simply requesting a special use permit for a place of worship within the IP industrial park zoning. We are not making any changes to the site. We're not making any changes to the exterior of the building. This is simply for the special use permit, and we are in compliance with parking. No waivers required, and staff is recommending approval, so we respectfully request yours as well. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Is there anybody here that would like to speak on this agenda item? Come on up. State your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Kenya Pardo Moscoso, and my address is 2064 Combination Lane. And I have a question. I would like to know if there is any sounds or any bells, any sound that would be calling people for worship.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anybody else in the public that would like to speak on this agenda item? Seeing no one, close it to the public. Do you want to address that for her, please?
We are not making any changes to the building, no speakers, nothing. It's a Christian church. They're not making, but they have sound inside for songs, but there's no call to worship or anything like that.
Okay. If no one has any objections, I'll make a motion to approve with preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? And then move forward.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. VS260237 refrigeration. I'm going to read them together, right? Okay. VS260237 refrigeration supply distributor. A vacant and abandoned a portion of right-of-way being Russell Road between Rogers Street and Argyle Street, and a portion of right-of-way being Rogers Street, located between Russell Road and Quail Avenue. And then agenda item number 6, DR260236, refrigeration supply distributor, design review for the purpose of office warehouse building on a 1.91 acres in a IL industrial zone within an airport overlay, generally located south of Russell Road and east of Rogers Street within Paradise. Welcome. Thank you for being so patient.
My name is Mark Stearns, STDA, calling us here on behalf of the applicant. We are vacating a portion of West Russell, as well as South Rogers. They wanted to make it so we have a detached sidewalk. So we went in with a detached sidewalk. And the sidewalk is already in on Russell, but we agreed to go ahead and tear it out and put in detached sidewalk with the 5 foot of landscaping in front of it. The building itself is for a warehouse with about 4,000 square foot office area, which would be in this corner right here, which I'll show the floor plan here in a minute. We've taken with our design and make sure that the truck and loading docks are not visible from Rogers or Russell. Because it slopes down and coming up Russell, headed west, you'll be able to see it because there's nothing now. If you guys go over there, but there's a bank on the corner and then a lot next to us is empty. So we did the best that we could do to keep the trucks in the block and seeing visibility from there. We met all of the Title 30 setbacks, the sustainability, so there's no waivers. We met all of the requirements. So heights and everything are good. I believe that the staff is recommending approval. And that's the end of my presentation.
Is there anybody here from the public that would like to speak on this agenda? See, no one closing it to the public and opening it to the board. does anybody have anything to say? Okay, I'll make,
make a motion to approve items 5 and 6, subject to staff preliminary conditions.
There's a motion on the floor to approve 5 and 6 with staff preliminary conditions. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Don't say that, it's on record.
That's my count up.
Okay, are we going to close it to the top? Well, there's no one here, but we still got to read it, right? Comments by the general public here is devoted to the comments by the general public, so it matters. Relevant to the board of council jurisdiction will be held. No discussions, actions, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step forward to speak and probably state your name and address and spell it for the record. If any member of the board council wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by chairperson or board or majority vote. Is anybody that would like to speak? Seeing no one. Next meeting is May 26, 2026.
Motion to adjourn.
There's a motion on the floor to adjourn. Can I get a vote? Say. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? We're gone.
Oh, man, it
it was cold in here.